All right, so you guys really outdid yourselves this time.
Yeah, this one's a doozy.
I mean, seriously, 30 deep dives in, you think we'd be jaded,
Yeah.
but this story you sent,
Yeah.
this narrative, it's got a real unique kind of unsettling vibe.
It does. It's like it bypasses all the logical parts of your brain and goes straight for that primal fear center.
Right. And it comes from, well, you know, Inspector Story on
Oh.
Instagram. They've got that connection to
Yeah.
us, to the show. And usually it's all kind of light, fun, spooky stuff.
Right, good for a late night scroll, get a little creeped out, but this one.
This one's titled Something Like the Babysitter in the Crib. And even knowing it's fiction, like full disclosure, it's still messed up.
Yeah, it's not about whether it actually happened in 1980s Chicago or whatever. It's about why does this story, this particular story, stick with you? Why is it so effective at creeping people out?
So think of us as your guides through the bazaar, your Mulder and Scully, for this very specific, very unsettling deep dive.
Exactly. Strap in, folks. It's going to get weird.
Okay, so set the scene. Melaine Donovan, she's babysitting for this family, the Hawthorns, in Chicago back in the 80s. Parents are out. They decide to check the baby monitor. You know, pretty standard.
Totally normal. Who hasn't done that?
But instead of seeing their little baby sleeping peacefully, they see Melaine. Frozen, just completely fixated on the crib.
That stillness right from the jump, that's your first red flag.
Yeah.
That intense focus on something that should be totally innocent, it's like instantly creates tension.
Oh, yeah. So they call out to her, nothing. And then slowly she turns to the camera and whispers, get this. It's not the baby I'm watching. I mean, come
That
on.
feels, dude.
Right.
Yeah.
Like instant nightmare fuel. What else could she be watching? And none of the answers are good.
Nope. Not a single one. It takes something familiar, babysitter, baby monitor, and flips it on its head.
Exactly. So, of course, the parents, they freak out, race home. But when they get there, Malene's gone.
Gone.
Only thing left behind is her phone, which, okay, maybe a little anachronistic for the 80s, but whatever,
Yeah.
adds to the weirdness.
Right.
And then they find her.
Oh, God. This is the part.
In the baby's crib. Not next to it, not hovering over it, inside it, dressed in baby clothes.
Okay, hold on. An adult woman crammed into a tiny crib, that image alone is just wrong.
Yeah, it's so absurd, so out of place that it's terrifying. It's like your brain can't even process it.
And then she's humming, rocking back and forth. Like this is someone who is completely detached from reality.
And then she looks up at them, smiles, and says, I've never had parents, so I chose you to be my mommy and daddy. And don't worry, I made sure the baby won't get in our way.
Dude. Okay, see that last part. That's what takes it from unsettling to straight up horror.
The implication towards the baby,
Yeah.
said so casually, too. It's nothing, chilling.
It's like this grotesque perversion of the most basic human connection.
So for me, the most disturbing part, it's not just her delusion, right? It's that cold, calculated threat to the baby. Ultimate betrayal of trust.
Yeah. But I think what gets me the most is that visual, right? Melaine in the crib, it's so regressive, like her entire adult identity just gone, shattered. Makes you wonder about her past, what led to this.
Right. What kind of trauma, what kind of break could trigger this? Was it something in that house, something about that family? Or was it always there, lurking beneath the surface, just waiting for the right moment to snap?
Right, and we can speculate all day because it's fiction, but it's that wondering, that not knowing, that makes it stick with you.
Totally. It's like it forces you to confront how fragile we are, you know, how easily things can go sideways, even in the most normal settings.
Think about the parents, man. What's going through their minds? Relief that their kid seems okay, but also pure horror at what they're seeing.
Like, what do you even do in that situation? Call the cops, a therapist, an exorcist. It's beyond logic.
And then there's that line about the baby, right? Won't get in our way. What does that even mean? Did she just move the kid or something? Worse. Our minds go to some dark places, man.
Oh, absolutely. What's left unsaid, it's always scarier than anything you could actually describe.
For sure. But why? Right. Why does a story like this, even knowing it's probably just some made-up internet thing, why does it get under our skin like this?
What anxieties does it tap into, you think?
I think it's a few things. It's the vulnerability of our kids, right? The idea that someone we trust could betray us like that.
Yeah.
And it's also that realization that things aren't always what they seem, that the monster could be hiding in plain sight.
Yeah. Subverting the ordinary. The babysitter, someone who's supposed to be caring, protective, she becomes the source of terror.
And it messes with that sense of security we all rely on, you know?
Yeah.
Even if you know it's just a story, the emotional impact, it's real.
Makes you think twice, right?
Oh, yeah. Every creak in the house, every shadow.
But there's also that, I don't know, a fascination with this kind of stuff, right? Like, like picking at a scab. You know it's not good for you, but you can't help but look.
It's the X-Files effect. That need to understand the weird, even if it freaks us out.
Exactly. It's like a safe way to explore the dark side, to confront the uncomfortable, without actually being in danger.
A thought experiment in terror.
So, if we were to try and distill some kind of takeaway from this, something for the listeners to chew on.
Not a moral or anything, just a lingering thought.
Right. What could it be?
Maybe it's about the risks of trusting others with those we love. Not to be paranoid, but to be aware.
Or maybe it's a reminder that people struggle. And sometimes those struggles, they manifest in really disturbing ways.
Or maybe it's just a reminder to check the baby monitor,
yeah,
like all the time.
Practical advice.
Yeah.
But yeah, it also makes you think about that line between normal and not normal.
Definitely. Mm. It can get blurry sometimes.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another deep dive. And man, for number 30, this one was a doozy. Thanks for sending it in. Even though it was terrifying.
My pleasure. And it just goes to show, even in fiction, we find reflections of our deepest fears, you know?
So, last thought for you all out there listening. What does a story like this, as messed up as it is, what does it tell us about our own anxieties? About protecting those we care about? It might be made up, but the feeling it leaves behind, that's real.
Yeah. It's those lingering questions, the stuff that sticks with you after the story ends. That's what tells us the most about ourselves.
And on that note,
mm-hmm.
We'll be back soon with another deep dive into the strange and sometimes unsettling world of, well, whatever you guys throw at us. Until then, sleep tight. Don't let the babysitter bite.
Okay.
We'll see you next time.